of the church, the sweet fellowship of the church, and the sure future of the church, and the sacred function of the church. The church is here to stay till God calls it out. I get a little disturbed sometimes what I hear going on in so many churches today. But I'll tell you, no matter what type of storm blows across the oceans of the world, I know no matter how much wind blows, how strong the wind might be, how high the waves might get, the ocean floor is never disturbed because that's the foundation. And I tell you, no matter what wind blows across the churches, I'm going to tell you what, the foundation of the floor of the church is sure and stand fast because it's based on that rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So if you're looking for a cause, if you're looking for that excitement, and if you're looking for meaning in life and worth in life, I would like to recommend you this day to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read what Jesus Christ says about this church, and then he tells us these six things about the church. It says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, son of Simon, by Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but the God, the Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this hour for the church. Father, we know they are a mystical body of the church, but Lord, we know there's a physical body of the church. And we thank you, Lord, that joined together here this day and one another, God, that we might see the real church. The true worship of the church is worship in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just want to ask you, Lord, that you would just open our hearts and our understanding. And, Father, we know that your church is going to be here till you call it out of this world. Father, we just pray that we might be the church that you would call us to be here at Pleasant Hill. And we will be doing the things that you called us to do. And, Lord, that your name might be glorified here this day. And someone here this day may not be ashamed of you, but come forward, announcing, Father, that they want to be a part of that glorious church, what you have died for and shed your blood for. And so we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. As I said, that some say that the church is on the way out, I'd like to tell you that is absolutely correct. Jesus called his church out, but he sent his church back into this world to be the witnesses, and soon the church is going to be on its way out, on its way up, and on its way forever, this church. People say they don't really need the local church. If they believe in the New Testament, they believe in a local church. If they deny the local church, they deny the New Testament that's penned by the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from his local church. All born-again believers, no matter what faith they are, no matter what denomination they are in the body of church, the spiritual body of church. But Jesus Christ also said there's a local body of believers. The letters that he wrote or had wrote by the Holy Spirit of God, penned by the apostles, Paul mostly, was letters wrote to local churches. The church at Rome, church at Ephesus, all the New Testament was letters wrote to local churches. If people say they do not believe in a local church, they would never be able to read the New Testament because they would never hear about that letter from that local church. The local church is the most important thing that you have in your life. Your life must circle around a local church. As I said, if you try to separate your local church from Jesus Christ, you deny the teaching of the New Testament, the Word of God. We see now the spiritual church and the local church. Why do we need this local church if you're in the spiritual church? Well, the saving faith of a local church is where it all starts out. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Some says, "Well, there's John the Baptist." They say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're that great prophet Elijah. But some says, "Well, you just maybe one of those prophets." Then Jesus Christ turned to his disciples, his inner circle, his disciples, and I'm speaking to you this day. And I know that you know people that believe all kinds of things about Jesus Christ. Maybe the Muslim, or maybe some other type of denomination, maybe other type of belief. It even may be an atheist that don't even believe about Jesus Christ. It might be a Mormon that says that Jesus Christ is a good man. He's a prophet, but he is not Son of God. He is not God himself. You might hear people say all kind of things about Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is asking you this day, "Yeah, I know about all those people. Who do people say that I am? And then who do you, sitting here today, say that I am?" Who is Jesus Christ? Verse 16 and 17 and 18 again. Simon Peter answered that, and he answered it correct. "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but the Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee again that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He's going to change his name now, Peter, to a small stone is what it means. He is a small stone. What is the saving faith of a church today? It is the personal conviction of who Jesus Christ is. The saving faith of the church is a personal conviction of who Jesus Christ is. I'm going to tell you today, it's easier to join a church than it is some social clubs today, because it's easy believism today. But if you join the spiritual church, you should join a local church, because that's obedient to Jesus Christ. But first, it has to be made up as a personal conviction of who Jesus Christ is. Who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus Christ to you today? Is he your Savior today? Is he the one that you understand that died on a cross? Is he the one that you understand without him that you'd go to a devil's hell made for the devil and his angels? Do you understand what he gave you? He gave you a gift of faith. It's nothing that you muster up yourself and you say, "I'm going to try to believe in Jesus Christ." He gave every mankind a portion of faith that they might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the one that come and died on a cross for sins of the whole world, not just for sin, for my sins and for your sins. This is the Jesus Christ. It keeps me from hell. This is the Jesus Christ I trust my soul with. Who is Jesus Christ to you today? Who is Jesus Christ? The saving faith of the church is based on the personal conviction about Jesus Christ, not what people say that he is. Peter, he says, "You know, you said he is the Son of the living God." He says, "You know what? You answered correct, Peter. But it says, my Father had to show it to you. My Father had to reveal this to you. It's not your education, Peter. It's not your intellect, Peter. It's my Father had to show this to you." Peter now had been with Jesus Christ for some time. For 3.5 years, Jesus Christ had his ministry here on this earth. Peter and the disciples had been with him, saw a lot of the miracles he had already performed, but still that's not the way that he really understood who Jesus Christ was, just by being with him. You can come to church many, many times, but it's only when the Father reveals to you who Jesus Christ really is. It's when the Holy Spirit opens up your heart and lets you know what you think leads to destruction, as the Word of God says. But whenever the Holy Spirit of God opens up your heart and he shows you the Son of God, only then you can be saved. God opened up Peter's heart and he showed him who just exactly who he is. I want you to know, it's not my preaching or anybody anybody else that's preaching will never, never convince you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit to show you. It don't matter what preacher stands and you hear preach. It don't matter who you listen at on television. It don't matter how many years he's preached. It don't matter how many degrees he had before his name. I want to tell you, no preacher can convict you that Jesus Christ or convince you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It takes the opening of the Holy Spirit of your heart by him, and him only is only the Holy Spirit can do this. He's the only one that can open up your heart this day. So as you see this, it takes a personal conviction of who Jesus Christ is for a saving faith of the church. But not only that, it takes believing, but also it takes confession. Jesus Christ says it takes confession, Peter. And then Peter says, "Thou art the Christ of the living God." He professed who he was, the Christ of the living God. Who is Jesus Christ? He done this amongst his disciples. He done this openly. He done this publicly. He says, "You know what? I am convicted that Jesus Christ is who God said he is." Conviction must always follow confession if true conviction is made by the Spirit of God into your heart. Confession always is going to be followed by this confession of who Jesus Christ is when you're convicted. Luke chapter 9 in verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my works, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and his Father and the holy angels." It says, if you're ashamed of me, he says, I will be ashamed of you. Some people don't want to walk down and say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior." I don't want to come down and say that Jesus Christ convicted me of sin and I'm a poor sinner and I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart. They're ashamed. He said, if you'll be ashamed of me before mankind, I'll be ashamed of you of my Father in heaven this day. The reason given of this invitation, and the reason that we give invitation, the Bible says, "Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so." If you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you need to say so, that I'm a son of God. I'm a son of the living God because Jesus Christ saved my soul. And now Jesus Christ is my Lord and is my Savior. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. And I'll tell you what, today, if you're not redeemed, I got a reason that you don't want to say so. But if you are redeemed, why in the world don't people want to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior this day? It's because they've never been saved. It's because their pride is bigger than their sins. I'm going to tell you today, we need to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ and sneak into heaven in some corner somewhere or another. Romans 10:11 says that if thou shalt confess, no, it says, for the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And then that great verse of Scripture, Romans 9:10, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth profession is made unto salvation. Let's remember what it takes now. You see, it takes that personal conviction that Jesus Christ, who he said he is. And then it takes that profession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then it brings conversion into the life of the person. It says, thou art Peter. He changed his name. When you have all this, you'll have a conversion. You'll be changed because the Spirit of God. You'll have a new name. As we sing that song, I got a new name, and it's written down in glory. I got a new name, and it's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I did not write it there. The Holy Spirit of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it was not because of my record of being a good person. It was not my record because of coming to church. It was not my record because I preached the Word of God. It's the record because I put my trust in Jesus Christ for the safekeeping of my soul, and it's wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life and never can be erased. I'm going to tell you, my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life today. It's locked there. It's personal because Jesus Christ gave me a new name. He changed me a new name, and he changed every person that the Holy Spirit dwells in today. He changes them today a new name. No longer, old Peter is going to be an unstable man. No longer can the devil sift him as wheat. Peter is called a little rock. He doesn't get a piece of the rock. He is a piece of the rock because he is on the rock of Jesus Christ. When there is conviction about Jesus Christ, when there is confession of Jesus Christ, there going to be conversion through Jesus Christ, and you will never be the same person that you were before. Whenever the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart to live, you'll never be the same anymore. If that's have anything new, what the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. God creates you all over again. The only thing that God is creating now is souls fit for the kingdom of heaven. He's not creating the world anymore. He's not creating anything else that you can see or feel anymore. He is creating new creatures that they might be able to go to heaven and make heaven filled up with little Jesus Christ like your son today. If your religion have not changed your life, you better change religion. And if your religion do not cause you to love the things that Jesus Christ loved, you have no love of the Father in your heart. If you don't love the things that Jesus Christ loved, the Spirit of God does not dwell in that temple that you call your temple this day. I'm telling you, Ephesians 5 and 25 says, Christ loved the church and he gave himself for the church. The people say they don't need the church. Jesus Christ loved the church and he gave himself for the church. I'm telling you what, you need the church. Now the problem today, the people concerned about this church joining the world, we don't have to be concerned about the church joining the world because the world has joined the church already. You can't tell the difference this day what it's all about. But I'm telling you, we're in trouble. The church started out as a sheepfold in the early Testament, and it's turned to a zoo today of all type of belief of any way that you want to believe today. But the true faith of the church will come under these headings that I'm giving you, and it always will separate the true worship of any other church, no matter what the name is named on, in a church of the living God this day. True fellowship of the church. And after that, you'll see what it's a supernatural formation of the church. Mankind did not think about this church. Mankind cannot have put a church together. Oh, they can build buildings and they can get people coming, but this is a supernatural. We're talking about the spiritual church today, the supernatural formation of the church. Jesus Christ said, upon this rock, he says, I, who is I? I means Jesus Christ, not Peter, not you, and not some other preacher this day, and not even Billy Graham. He says, I will build my church. He's going to build his church. I have not been called to build this church. I'd like for you to know, I have not been called to build this church. It is not my responsibility to build this church. It's only my response to his ability to build this church. It's his church this day. The church cannot fail because it's his church. The church cannot be fall because it's his church. Now, flesh and blood cannot build a church. They can build a building, but they cannot build a church. There are churches all over this country now. It's growing in numbers, but they're not churches of Jesus Christ. Probably some of the greatest churches they are is these Muslim churches this day. I mean, the Muslim churches, they build them by millions and millions of dollars a day. But I'm going to tell you what, that is built by a man, satanic. It is not built by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, they grow in numbers, but that is not Jesus Christ church. The Mormons build churches, but that's not Jesus Christ church. I tell you, all type of different churches today, but we're talking about the church of the living God. Oh, Peter says, it is the church of the living God. I'm going to tell you this day till you understand that there's a lot of churches that may be closing doors, a lot of churches that may be growing in numbers, but I tell you what, God is the one that builds churches this day. Acts chapter 2 and 47 says, praise God and have a favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm going to tell you, if a person comes forward this hour, in just a few minutes we'll be given the invitation, it'll be God that's doing the calling. It's certainly not me. I cannot convince anybody to be saved. It's only the opening of the Holy Spirit of God to the heart that they may be saved. You know, a lot of times people really don't know what God is really doing, but God is working here today. Man can make things, and man can make things look so real. Man can make churches, and it looks so real, and it looks like these great cathedrals that people put together and man put together. But you see, there's something different about what Jesus Christ does and what man does. I take, for instance, that I see these flowers here at this time. Let me feel of them and see if they're real or not, because a lot of times you just cannot see and tell if a flower is real. Most of you know now these flowers are not really real. They're artificial. You know what makes them artificial? Because because man has made these flowers. And you cannot hardly tell the difference of artificial flowers as you look here before me this hour. But there's always a difference between what man can do and what God can do. I can take these flowers here now, and I can carry out there, and I can plant them in the ground. And after a few months with this hot sun shining on them, they'll do more than wilt. They'll just fall apart because the sun will deteriorate these flowers, and they will not be beautiful anymore. But you take a living flower, a real flower, and you plant that flower in the earth, and you water that flower, and I tell you what, there's something beautiful come out of it, because there's something different what God does and what man does, and the difference is God gives life. That's the difference in artificial. That's the difference in what some churches today have, no lie, because they made out of man. Is what man's organization. I don't care if it's a Baptist church. No matter what type they name it this day, there's a lot of man-made Baptist churches today, and they have no life in them because man's made them. And the difference is that God gives life. God gives life to these flowers, and they rise again. God gives life to you whenever you was dead, and one of these days, you're going to live again. You're going to rise again because God has put life in you this day. There's a lack of life what we have in these flowers now. Only God can impart life. Man cannot impart life. So I want to tell you what, there's a supernatural formation of the church. And I'm going to tell you, it's built on the saving faith of the church. And then you know why all this brings us back to a solid foundation of the church? Because it says, upon this rock, the solid foundation, I will build my church. Well, what rock? He's not talking about old Peter there. He's talking about his own rock himself, Jesus Christ. He's just going to start with that little pebble. And he says, I am Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, the church, as I said, is not built on Peter. And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We don't have to look back to some priest or another this morning to confess our sins. All we have to do is look up to the living God who's raised from the dead, the living God which is Jesus Christ today. I'm going to tell you, this church we're talking about is a solid foundation of the church, and it'll last till God calls it out of this world. It's called the rapture of the church. It's not a man-made church, it's a God-made church, and God says, I'm going to see that it's in to the end, and he will call us home. And as we rush on with our time just a little bit morning, we see the sweet fellowship of the church. The sweet fellowship as we have here this morning, as we have on Wednesdays, as we have on Sunday night, and any time that we come and meet in the name of Jesus Christ. The sweet fellowship of the church, because God has put us together. Upon this rock I will build my church. My church. And that church word there means a call out one. Called out of all nations. Called out of all tribes. Called out of all races. A spiritual house. Jesus Christ built this. Pleasant Hill, you know what? This is a sheepfold, this building we have here. Jesus Christ is all about the called out ones. The people are the church here this day. 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also are living stones, are built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, do offer up spiritual sacrifices, accepted to God by Jesus Christ. You also as a living stone. Peter, you are a rock. Peter, you are a little stone. And then he says, the writings of his book, he says, now you are, every one of us, born again believer, he says, you are a living stone here today. And we built together in a spiritual house. Built together, all stones are built together. But let me tell you the danger. Let me tell you what the people says that I don't need the church. Let me tell you exactly where they stand. It is against the teaching of the Word of God. It's like taking this Bible and throwing it out in the floor and saying, I don't believe this Bible. If you don't believe and support a local church, if you're saved, you don't believe anything that Jesus Christ said while he was on this earth or the teaching of all his disciples. You don't believe a thing he said because, listen to me, if you think you don't need the church, you are one brick. Have you ever saw a one brick building? Have you ever saw a one brick building? They say they saved, they don't need the church. A one brick building is all they are. They say, I don't need the people. The Bible says that we'll build together. And you destroy the teaching of the Word of God, and you lead other people astray, and you deny the very lovely thing that what Jesus Christ died for. The Bible says we are built together. Now, the importance of a local church as we bond together here today, because you know what you can do with one brick? You can shove that brick around. You can throw that brick. You can do about anything you want to with one brick. But when you put all these bricks together and you build this building that we're in this day, get on outside of it, every one of us, and push as hard as you want to, and you'll never push this building around. But we'll line up bricks out there and everybody get one brick, and I guarantee you can take your old foot and just shove that brick around. You can just shove that old brick around. You can pick up that brick and you can throw that brick. I want to tell you, anybody denies the teaching of this Bible, anybody that denies a local church, I'm telling you, and they say they are a one brick church, and you just throw them around. You just throw them around. Because that is exactly what the devil is doing if they are saved. Most of the time, people don't believe in a local church. They don't believe in the New Testament teaching. They're not saved to start with. They just throw it around. You need the local church. Together is where we get the power from. When you take these bricks and you start laying all these bricks together and you build this church, the power of one brick on top of another brick on top of another brick makes the structure of this church strong. Of any building, when you take one brick after another brick after another brick, it makes it strong. And that's the reason that everyone should be, every time they could be, in the service. Because the strength of the service this morning is the number of people that's here this day that believes in Jesus Christ. And the more bricks we have, the stronger we have a service. And whenever we understand that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, if He's our Savior this day. It says now, we are built together. But not only are we built together, the Bible says we are bound together. And the bound together with a mortar fit to one another. You belong to me, and I belong to you. That's the reason we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Sometimes we hold hands. And you see, we're holding each other up and the bricks we have together. You see, I'm standing on the shadows of those brick that went before me. Our deceased board for many years as Pleasant Hill Baptist Church has stood by this road. I want to tell you what I stand on. I stand on the rock of Jesus Christ, but I stand on the shoulders of all those that's gone on before. Many of your forefathers, many of your family members, many of your loved ones, I'm standing on their shoulders. If Jesus Christ don't come back, I'm going to tell you what, as I leave here, someone else will stand on my shoulder. Someone else will stand on your shoulder. Why? Because we are bricks added together, a spiritual house living together, and we need one another. Bricks by itself, it cannot even be beautiful. Just one old red brick sitting here on this, it's not beautiful. But I have saw some beautiful buildings built out of red brick, because it's one stacked on top of another brick, on top of another brick, on top of another brick. And it makes a house. One brick don't make anything. And it's like the three little pigs. You know, one had a house built out of sticks. And one had a house built out of straw. But the other little pig had a house built out of bricks. And that big old bad wolf, what they done? He huffed and he puffed and he blew those first two houses away. But he could not blow that brick house away. That ought to be example, as you read that little story, ought to be example for every born again believer to understand that they need a local church, that a big bad wolf called the devil himself cannot blow you away, because we are bound together and we are blessed together by the mortar of love of Jesus Christ today. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm sold on the local church. You believe that? I'm sold on the local church. We stand with one another. Now, a good architect is not the arrangement of beautiful material, but it is the beautiful arrangement of materials. Disney World, most of y'all have seen Disney World, either you've been there or either on television. You know what Disney World is made out of mostly is concrete and steel. Did y'all know that? But it's beautiful. But the same concrete and steel is out there on an airplane runway. It ain't too much beautiful out there. Just look out there and see a big old runway of an airplane. 747 lands on cement and steel. Much not beautiful to it. So it's the arrangement of material that makes it beautiful. God has arranged the beauty of you and I today in the flowers of life, in the bouquets of life. and he's built us together in a local church. God has quarreled us and made us out of an old stone, and he beat away things that's not like us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? For there were two or three gathered together in my name, there will I be in thy midst." You see, where you're two or more gathered together, God's going to be in that midst. When we meet with the Lord, he's in our midst. Built together, we bound together, we blessed together. And I'm going to tell you what, you cannot be an obedient Christian without a local church if you're able to be there. Then the sure future of the church. Back in 16:16, it says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I build my church." Now here it is, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The future of the church. I like that song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus Christ." That's the way the reason the church is going to stand. Jesus Christ's church is going to survive. The church is an army that hell cannot withstand. It's marching on. It's not that we're staying inside this church and hell is trying to beat the doors to come in. No, we're going after the gates of hell. We're marching on. But I want to tell you what, when Samson took the strength of the Lord and he went into that city of Gaza and he took the city gates and carried them up and he set them on a hill, but that took the strength of the Lord. But I want to tell you, a man called Jesus, when he come out of that grave for 3 days and 3 nights, he took the gates of hell and he carried them up to Calvary and showed the strength of God by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ lives forever and he has the gates of hell, and he opened those gates of hell. Today you don't have to go to hell. He says, "I have the keys of heaven and hell," and you don't have to go to hell today. The church is not temporary. The church is eternal. And then just a moment, I'm going to tell you, we got the sacred function of the church. The sacred function of the church. The keys, he said, "I'll give you." Keys means authority. Keys means the keys of this building. You got the authority to come in this building or go into your house. Keys are also the responsibility that God has given you. Responsibility, some years ago, whenever young boys would come along, they might get the keys when they got enough of age to them. They might get the keys to daddy's truck or daddy's car. Or you might get the keys to the house. See, because you had responsibility. It said, "We are bound or we are loosened." We can bring souls bound in the golden chains of the gospel and lay them at the feet of Jesus Christ. And the loosened part is the power of sin and the guilt. The function of the church is to evangelize. And I want to tell you what, if we don't take care of the sacred function of church, we will cease to be a New Testament church. We must bring lost people to Jesus Christ. We must bring them. Jesus Christ says, any church, any people, we do more than just misuse the Word of God. We abuse the Word of God, and we neglect the keys that God has given us, and it just simply, it misses a blessing. Not only that, but we are guilty of treason against the high cost of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. I would like to ask you now, as a close, as we come to a song of invitation, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many people invited someone this week to a service this day that Jesus Christ's name might be stronger, more glorified here in this building. How many intend to invite someone to be back with us tonight? How many intend to invite somebody with us again Wednesday night and be praying for what Jesus Christ can do in the lives of his people? Now this time I told you it's going to be time for an invitation. I want to tell you really now, if you believe that Jesus Christ, who he said he is, he's asking you now, he's not asking me, and Jesus Christ is asking you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Can you say, "Yes, I really do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God"? Well, the Holy Spirit of God has opened your heart and let you know that Jesus Christ, who said he is, you believe in him. I mean, you're convinced that he is the Son of God. Now, he's the only one that can save you. You believe that. But then you see, after that, there comes confession. Jesus Christ says, "Now, if you believe that, you need to confess me." How do you confess me? All you do is you walk down this aisle. Say, "Well, I don't want to walk down this aisle." Well, if you're ashamed of me, if anybody is ashamed to walk down this aisle and say, "I love Jesus Christ," Jesus Christ says, "If you're ashamed to do that, I'm telling you right now, I'll be ashamed of you and my Father in heaven." I'm going to tell you what I believe with all my heart, everything that Jesus Christ preaches in his word. I believe if someone's saved, I tell you, a team of horses cannot stop a man from coming down, or a woman or a child if they've truly been born again. I mean, you can't stop them. I don't believe you can hold a machine gun and stop somebody from coming. You can't take a crawler tractor and stop somebody coming. Buddy, if you're saved, you want the world to know that you're saved if you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. There are too many trying to sneak in the back door of a church, and I don't want to tell this and I don't want to tell that. Buddy, you better tell it. You better tell it. God said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And one of these days, you're going to face the Almighty God. And then whenever you do, as you walk up to the door of heaven, and God's sitting there, what right do you have to enter into my heaven? Well, you know, me and you, God, we had a thing going on earth. You know, me and you, God, you know, I really believed in you, but I didn't want nobody to know it. I think that's really a personal thing. What right do you have to go to my heaven? Well, you know, I really do believe. He says, you got no right into my heaven. You got no right into my heaven. How do you get into heaven? Because you believe in Jesus Christ and you're not afraid to admit it. And you're not ashamed of him. How simple it is. Oh, you ain't got to tell the people if you want to come this hour. All you got to say that I know that I was a sinner. And I asked Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I know that I've sinned. There's not a person in this building. God's put it in your heart that know that you have sinned. You know that. That's the first step. But now what you going to do with that sin? Well, you ask Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, I believe that you who you said you are. You were the perfect Son of God and you died on that cross. And you said you had all power in heaven and earth to forgive sin. And I believe that you forgive my sin. Although they mean it, I believe that you forgive my sin if I asked you. And Jesus Christ, right now, I want to ask you to forgive my sins. I want to repent of my sins. I want to turn around and walk the other way from my sins. And I want to ask you, Jesus Christ, would you come in my heart and live in my heart with the Holy Spirit of God? And Jesus Christ said, whosoever shall come unto me, I will no wise cast out. Buddy, I want to tell you here this day, if you're ashamed to come and confess that to me here this day, you're not saved. And you're not going to heaven. And that ain't what I said. I'm just an errand boy. You get mad at me all you want to, but I'm going to tell you that's not my word. That's the word of the Holy Bible. That's the word of Jesus Christ. Now, you can argue with him all you want to. It don't matter, make a bit of difference in the world what I believe or think or what you think about me. But I tell you, the word of God says you need to confess him and you need to come forward this time. And you need to join a local church and follow him through baptism if you've truly been saved today. As we stand and sing, our invitation is him.